the classic scene throughout all different types of action movies. Things like Terminator comes to mind, but there's these scenes in movies where most of you probably have seen something that goes along like this. Character who is just an average Joe. In the Lego movie, it happens to be a construction worker by the name of Emmett. And he just is fitting in. He's following the instructions, doing what he's supposed to do, having just an awesome life. And then all of a sudden, not by any particular chance or, by particular plan of his own, that he gets thrust into this massive struggle between good and evil. And somehow he is identified as the special. And all of a sudden, the focus of the evil comes down on him, and he's captured, and he's taken to the police station, and he's chained up, and he's questioned by the bad cop, good cop, which is hilarious, but he has this moment of utter despair. They're about to kill him. And you know what comes next, right? Out of nowhere comes this hero, this heroine in this particular situation. And she comes in and she knocks out all the guards and she turns to him and says, "Come with me if you don't want to die." And then, of course, he goes with her and begins the adventure. And I think about that movie and why I bring this up, because most of you are looking at me like, why is he talking about this Lego movie? We're in Genesis. I know we're talking about construction, but no, not that way. But because that is what we're going to talk about today, is this desire that God has to send people into our lives and then eventually us to go to other lives to be that person, to say to the lost, to say those who are going to hell without Christ, come with me if you want to live. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. If you need a Bible, we have some available in the back. Just raise your hand. We'll make sure that you get one. We also have it available on your YouVersion. So if you have your telephone or iPad or whatever it is that you're using, electronic device, hopefully you're not playing Candy Crush, but YouVersion is available. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, it's the calling of Abraham. As we're going through Genesis, we've talked about some of the patriarchs, and we're getting ready to talk about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and I wanted to kind of draw your attention to some specific things about them, maybe not the complete story, but just some highlights. And so today I wanted to talk about the calling of Abraham and how it pertains to us. It says in verse 1, "The Lord had said to Abram, 'Go from your country and your people and your father's household to the land that I will show you.'" In other words, come with me. Follow me. I'm going to take you on an adventure. I will get you out of the place that you're at and take you to where you need to be. Abram believed the Lord. Chapter 15, verse 6, it says, "Abram believed the Lord and he credited it," meaning God credited it to him, Abraham, "as righteousness." Now, the reason that this is relevant to us is in Romans 4:23-24, it tells us that the words "it was credited to him" were written not for Abraham alone, but also for us, to whom God credited righteousness, for those of us who believe in him. The call of Abraham is no different than the call of you or I. For those of us who have had that moment where we've said to God, "Yes, I will follow you. Yes, Christ is the way. Yes, I know that I am lost. Yes, I know that there is a better place." There was at one time that call, "Follow me." It is not necessarily that the person who is called becomes this great person or is a great person along the way. As a matter of fact, in the movie, the Lego movie, that's the kind of comic relief almost throughout the entire story is that Emmett, this plain construction worker, labeled as the special one, this great prophecy said that they would be unbelievably interesting, and he is not. That they would be creative and amazing, and he was clumsy and broke more things than he fixed. And sometimes we feel like that in our own Christian walk. It's like, really? I don't know, God, if you chose the right one. And when we look at the life of Abraham, and you may remember back last fall, we talked about Abraham in the context of leadership and how that when Abraham was called, he was told to go to the land of Canaan. And he kind of moved down the road a little bit, but he didn't quite get all the way. And then God's like, hey, come on. And then he went on in. And then there was a famine. There was some strife. There was some issues. And so Abram went to Egypt, where he passed his wife off as a sister. And Pharaoh took her in, and God came to Pharaoh and was like, if you touch her, you will die. And so Pharaoh freaks out and sends him back and sends all this wealth and says, get out of my country. You have tried to trick me. And Abraham goes back to Canaan, and he takes Lot, and he takes his family with him, and he prospers. But along the way, Abraham does not do things perfect. So the first thing I want you to notice is that in the calling, our responsibility is to respond. It says that he believed, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Perhaps today you have never turned your life over to Christ. You think, man, there's something I've got to do, right? I mean, I got to get myself all straightened out. I've got to be special. I got to be trained and ready to live a life of a Christian. Here's the good news. You don't. All you have to do is respond to the calling. Abraham said yes. And he went. And it was counted to him as righteousness. Those of us who have already accepted Christ, there are so many things on our own Christian walk. We think, oh man, I wish I could do this. I wish I could do that. And God's like, okay, let's do that. And then you're like, well, let me go get ready first. Let me do a two-year study on this book and go to college and let me do this and let me get all this training and I'm going to fill out a couple of seminars. And once I get my shelves filled with all this information, and I have a couple of documents hanging on the wall, then I'll be ready. Meanwhile, people continue to die and go to hell lost. Children continue to be unloved. The hungry are still hungry. The lost are still lost. The cold are still cold. The thirsty are still thirsty. They're waiting. And what Christ and what God is asking us is, will you hear the calling? It is not unique to Abraham. It is unique to all of us. In the end, what Emmett finds out in the Lego movie was that he was special. And so was the bad guy. And so was everybody else. That if you will follow the calling, that's what God wants you to do. What makes you special? The God that we have been talking about the last few weeks that created stars and galaxies in the universe and separated land from water and put birds in the air and designed bumblebees who aeronomically cannot fly and did all of that made you. And he says to you, I want you to follow me. I want you to be with me. And we have to say yes. That's our responsibility. The message that God had for Abraham is the same message that Christ gave to us. It doesn't matter throughout the time. It doesn't matter throughout language. The message of Jesus Christ, the question that Jesus asked when he was alive and the message that he asked now is the same one. He went to people who were not the prominent. He went to fishers and shepherds and tax collectors and says, hey, will you follow me? Will you go with me? And he said things like, if you want to live, you die to yourself and live for me. You want to win? You lose yourself. You pick up a cross. You follow me. The calling has not changed. There is one thing that I want you to understand, that throughout the generations, throughout Genesis to Revelation, from Old Testament to New Testament, from the time of Adam till today, until Christ comes back, God does not change. God does not change. His message has been the same. Will you follow me? And we have to decide, will we say yes? Now, if we say yes, what does that mean for us? Well, what happened to the disciples? They went from fishermen and tax collectors to apostles and disciples and leaders, and they changed the world. What will happen if you say yes? Last week I talked about Melchizedek and how he was a game changer, and how we in the line of Melchizedek, because we are in Christ, get to be kings and priests, and we can be game changers. The only way we get to do that is if we say yes. So the message today, will you follow him? And don't hear it from me, hear it from Christ. Because his story has been the same from the beginning till now. Will you follow me? Who do you trust? Yourself or him? If you follow him, you must lead others. You see, that's the next thing that we see out of this, is that Abraham, when he followed, he became a leader. Genesis 12:4 said, so Abraham went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Now, I can imagine that there was this moment where Abraham had to go home, first of all, to Sarah, right? And he's like, hun, babe, sweetie, whatever the little term that he had for him, for her, and said, I know you got the house just the way you like it. Whatever form of Pottery Barn they had, she probably had scoured all the magazines. She had picked out the right thing. She had just got the drapes where she wanted them. Abram had probably moved the couch two or three times. And he said, I know you got it just the way you want it, but God has called me to something better. And at that moment, Abram went from being just a follower of God to a leader for God. And it says that he gathered his home, his house together, and he gathered his whole family, including Lot. And here's the interesting thing about Lot. Why Lot, his nephew? Because Lot's father had died. And Abraham's father had adopted Lot as an adopted son. And so in essence, Lot was his adopted brother. And again, I will tell you that from Genesis to Revelation, when we read stories, always, always the story, the picture, the image of Christ is just peeking around the corner. Because that is exactly how Paul describes us. We are adopted into the family of God. You see, leaders for God bring along his family. And they can be family that are by blood. You can be family because you share an older brother in the form of Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter if they're strangers. If you're under the blood of Jesus Christ and through the cross, we're brothers and sisters. We are family. And God calls us to lead. And that's what he did. And Lot followed, and Sarah followed, and the rest of the family followed. Now, some of us who are called to be leaders, and we stand on this stage and we lead in certain ways. And when I was growing up, I thought that was the only leadership in a church. But I realize now, long before anybody stands on this stage, you must lead. You may never have a congregation, but if you're married, you have someone to lead. If you have children, you have someone to lead. If you work someplace where there are other human beings, you have somebody to lead. If you go to school where other people are, you have someone to lead. Because it's not by happenstance that people find Christ. Statistically, most people find Christ and are led to Christ because somebody invited them and asked them to do that. In other words, you who are now following need to lead. If your Christian walk consists of sitting in these chairs on Sunday morning and listening for about 20 minutes, and that's it, you've missed the calling. The calling is to lead. The calling is to get others to follow you. Because unlike a scripted movie story where they say cut and everybody goes back to their comfy trailers and waits till the next time that they go into this action scene, or when things get too dangerous, they call the what? The stuntman in? Because we don't want the star to get hurt. There are no stunt doubles in life. There's no cut. There's no break. This is real. And there is a cosmic battle that's between good and evil, fighting over the souls of lost people right now. And Jesus is calling you to follow him and then to be like Abraham and lead others. And that's a little scary. But if somebody hadn't done it before you, you wouldn't be sitting here today. If somebody hadn't done it before them, all the way back. What if the disciples had gotten too scared and they said, this is it, I'm just going to stick around and not tell anybody. They tried that. God showed up with the Holy Spirit and flipped them out and put flames of fire on their head and made them go around talking in tongues. And Peter, the same guy who denied Christ three times to a little child, stood out in front of everybody and proclaimed the truth of Jesus Christ. And when he was arrested and taken with threatened with punishment, stood and said, what else can I say? I know it to be true. He did not change. Why? Because God moved in his life. He said yes to this calling. That is what we have to look forward to. So why not trust him? Why not step out in faith and say, I will lead. God, you have blessed me with salvation and with eternal life, and it is too good to keep to myself. And I know that you guys love to share things because I see your Facebooks. Because you get you a good crab cake recipe or the next best cheese dip, and it's everywhere. Woo, check this out. You'll tweet it. You'll put it on Facebook, Pinterest. You'll tag it. You'll do, and let me go down to all my friends and tag them so they don't miss out. Now, guys, I'm not talking about these emails that says, if you love Jesus, you'll pass it to 10 people. And this is a true story. Somebody did it, and then $1,000 came into their checking account that day. I'm not talking about that kind of telling people about Jesus. I'm talking about real, authentic. Guys, man, I was lost. And now I'm found. Let me tell you what happened. Let me share some reasons that people choose a church, some statistics. These are statistics taken from Tom Rainer. He's a statistician, one of those kind of Christian nerds that love to study things and put it all together. And I praise God for him because then I can just read his book and I don't have to go out and do that. But here's what he says. reasons that people choose a church or came to church, someone at church witnessed to them. Someone from the church invited them to come. Second, if they knew a member, I've seen that happen. I know of a family right now that's sitting in this room because somebody at work for a long period of time said, you should come check out our church. And one day they did. And now they're here. That's how this happens. And once they get here, they love to see when people are caring for each other. In other words, when Jesus says love one another, they love to come into a place where they actually are walking out Christ's words. If you come into a building and it's filled with just hateful, ugly people, never extend a hand of welcome, chances are you're not going to not only not come back to that church, but chances are you won't come back to Christ because you're like, if that's what being a Christian's about, poo on that. Friendliness of members, children's programs. Remember that when we asked for more volunteers to help? Right now, there are about 30 children in that back room, and their lessons are all Bible-centered, Bible-based, and telling the stories of Jesus Christ and planting seeds that hopefully one day will grow into mature Christians. And the other thing that was the most important was the atmosphere of the church. What was the setting like? What was the culture of the church? Is the culture of the church one that's welcoming or exclusive? Are we a committee of exclusivity and say, hey, there's the four of us and no more? Are we always saying, you know what, there's room for one more? Because it's not really about, is there more room for you in this room? Is there more room for you at the cross? That should be the focus. And there's always room for one more, and two more, and three more, and four more. There is always room at the cross. Your salvation experience was a beginning of a new life. Your following Christ is an admirable thing, but to be a true follower of Christ means that you are a leader, and you have to lead others to Him. And so today, I'm going to ask the ushers to prepare to hand out some things. So those of you who helped with the offering, if you could go back, because it's going to take a few hands to pass these out. There's two things that I have today that I want to hand out to you again, to put in your hands. Because here's what happens. Maybe you walk away and think, Jason's crazy today. Maybe you walk away and say, wow, that was really good, and he's absolutely right, I should tell other people. But then Monday comes, Tuesday comes, work comes, school comes, you're like, how do I do this? There's that awkward moment when you need that icebreaker. How do I share my faith? How do I share about my church? So the first thing that I have for you guys today is this. It's just a little invitation card. And I made it card size so you can put it in your pocket, put it in your wallet, put it in your purse. It's very easy to carry. Very clearly tells you what our church is, New Hope Community Church. On the back, this is what it says. Worship with us Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Gives us our address. Tells a little bit about that we are non-denominational. We have a contemporary worship style. And tells about kids' ministries. And then it gives the website address. I'm going to encourage you to take one or two of these today. And here's my challenge, and I'm doing this myself, is this week, can I pray and find two people? Two people that do not belong to this church or any church. And say, will you come to my church? And now, sometimes it's easier to say, will you come to my church, than it is to say, will you come to Christ? And that's okay. That's why we're doing this. This is the first step. Will you come to my church? Will you come and worship with me? Will you come and hear? In other words, you're saying to them, I want you to know that you're loved and cared for, and there's a place that will love and care for you. So that's the first card that we're handing out today. The second is this one. Maybe there's a person in your life that you've been kind of in relationship with, that you've been talking with. Maybe it's a coworker, somebody in your family even. Maybe they've even visited here a few times and they kind of started those conversations about Christ and about what is life after death. And here's a little card that, the front of it, and you guys can go ahead and start passing those out, that'd be great. The front of it is this, it looks like a little ruler. And it has the question on there, how do you measure up? Because in life, that's what we're all concerned about. You know, how do I measure up? Am I good enough? Am I smart enough? Am I fast enough? Am I rich enough? Am I whatever enough? And so I give you this card to ask somebody, how do you measure up? Question number one, do you think that you'll go to heaven? Now, I will tell you that most people, when you ask that question, will say yes. And they'll probably tell you some answer. Well, yes, because grandma read her Bible. Yes, because one time I went to a vacation Bible school when I was a kid. Yes, because I drove by a church one day. Yes, because I gave in the plate one day. Yes, for whatever reason. Sometimes you may hear, yes, because I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen, hallelujah, you've got somebody you know is on fire. Let's go on. But for every other answer, you go on to question two. If God asked you why he should let you into heaven, what would you say? And if they answer anything beyond a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, on the back of the card, I have some tools for you. On the back of the card, and I encourage you to do this, you'll see that it has references to different scriptures. Those are not written out. Because what I want you to do, my challenge to you, challenge to myself, is to learn these scriptures. There are only about 12 verses on here. Now, most of you know more than 12 verses. Most of you know more than 12 songs. If I asked you to quote me a couple of movie lines, you could do that. So this isn't something beyond our capability. I'm not asking you to memorize entire books of the Bible. Let me challenge you to go and learn at least one or two of these verses out of each section. It's going to set you up to tell them, hey, how do you measure up? All of us measure up short. The very first thing, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. And because we have fallen short, because we don't measure up, there's a penalty. That penalty is death. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. But here's the good news. There is a Christ, and he made a way that you can escape death and move into life. Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I knock. If anyone lets me in, I will go in and be with them. I will relation with them. I will be with them till the end of eternity. Jesus is knocking, waiting to come into your life. And there's nothing that you can do. There's no works. There's no amount of money. There's no amount of good job, good deed, back pat on the back kind of things that you can do. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For it's not by works that men are saved, but by grace alone. See, Jesus Christ came. He said, will you follow me? It's the same message that God said to Abraham. I want you to gather your people. I want you to come with me. And Abraham did what? He believed. And it was counted righteous to him. Because of that, Jesus Christ said, I am the light and the way. If you follow me, I will take you to the Father. For I go to prepare a place, and I would not do that unless I was coming back to get you. And the good news is that you can move from death to life. This may not answer all of their questions. And they may ask you some things. Did Adam have a belly button? And some other things that people have asked over the years. You know what? Say, you know what? I may not know. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to just bless you and give you permission to use that phrase. I don't know. But then followed up with this, but I do know this. Everyone's made mistakes. Everyone's fallen short, myself included. Everyone has the opportunity through Jesus Christ to move into life. And all you can do is believe or not. Guys, it's not our responsibility how people respond. It's just our responsibility when we step up and ask others to follow. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, just thank you so much. Help us to be men and women of faith that we will step out, that when we receive the calling of Christ, which is follow me, that first of all, God, that we will follow you. And secondly, that we will lead others. Because, God, there is a battle right now that's going on in this world. And there are men and women who are ensnared in sin. And they may not even realize it, but they are about to die. God, help us to be the hero or heroine that swoops in and says, I've got the message of life. And if you want to live, follow me as I follow Christ, because he is the one and only way. God, I just pray that this week that you would just open the hearts and minds of those who are hearing this message, that you would just show them, have eyes to see men and women in their lives that need to hear that message. God, I pray right now that you would create an opportunity for myself, for all of us, for that one person this week that I can share you with, that I can lead them. God, you said that if we will obey, that you will provide. And that's all you ask. So God, I just pray that you give us the faith. And for those of us who sometimes we are timid, we are afraid, and we lack faith, let me ask you to just come in and fill in that gap and be the faith that we can't have. Because you are the author and the completer of our faith. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.